great piece in the New York Times today, taking a look at the vaccine prioritization. Okay, so vaccine may be around the corner, but how long will it take until you get the shot? Health officials considering timelines that give some Americans priority over others. Now, if you're a healthy American, you may wait months, many months, for your turn. To put this into perspective, they got together with scientists, the Sergo Foundation, Ariadne Labs, using their vaccine tool, and they calculate the number of people who will need a vaccine in each state and county and where you individually fit in that timeline. So start a vaccine line is healthcare workers, nursing homes, essential workers, first responders, those with COVID-19 health risks, homeless, incarcerated, young adults, children, lower risk, essential workers, and then everyone else is kind of the general order that's sort of been outlined. But there's a short quiz you can take to see where you fall in line. You give things like your age, your county, if you're an essential worker or not, if you have underlying conditions, stuff like that. I did it, and I fall in line behind 268.7 million people in the United States. So I'm getting in line there. That's my ticket. I'm number 268.7 million. Lauren, you'd be like 301 because you're young and healthy, and so you just get in line. When it comes to Illinois, I'm behind 10.5 million people. And then if you keep going down Cook County, I'm behind 4.2 million others. So it then shows a graphic, and they kind of show you where you might be in the line and how long it is in front of you. It's just interesting because the prioritization is obviously in the news right now, and we have heard from the governor that the first batch definitely is going to frontline healthcare workers. I don't think anybody argues with that. And then he says if there's enough left over from this first batch, it would go out to healthcare workers. I mean, excuse me, to nursing homes, long-term care facilities, that kind of thing. So the issue is, where do teachers fall on this? Because you're going to move into essential workers then at some point, and are teachers high up on the list? I know a lot of teachers' groups would like to see that happen and say it's essential to our schools reopening. Let's talk to Dan Montgomery, president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. Hey, Dan, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, thanks, Anna. How are you?
I'm okay. I've been seeing
268 million.
Can you believe it? I guess I should be thankful because that means, you know, I'm healthy and I will get in line and I'll wait my turn and that's okay. It just gives you an idea. You know, it might be a while before some of us are even offered this chance, right?
Sure.
And then
yeah,
the prioritization and what it means is important too. And that's what you're here about because teachers are saying we need to be high up in priority.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, let's be clear. We completely agree with what you sort of laid out is that the first, and what the governor mentioned, right, is that I think everyone in the country realizes you got to get these first responders, the healthcare workers. We've all seen the video, and many of us sadly have seen it up close in person, you know, hospital rooms, ERs, you know, with doctors and nurses who don't have the PPE even at this point still that, you know, we'd all like them to have. So, getting those folks vaccinated, absolutely. I think America agrees with that, I hope. And then, you know, elderly folks in those congregate settings where there have been some of the worst outbreaks makes total sense. I think what we're saying is at some point, right, we got to decide. We have a public policy decision to make in the country. How critical are schools? How much do we want our kids back in schools and classrooms, which we all do? So at some point, you're going to have to, I think, prioritize education workers. And I would say not just teachers, right? But you've got the bus drivers where the kids walk on the bus every day and, you know, school support staff and folks like that. So it's part of the equation. It's hard to know exactly where, and I did see yesterday the CDC made some comment in their prioritization that, you know, education workers were in some form, you know, on the ladder, a few rungs up. I can't tell you precisely what that means. We're talking with the Illinois Department of Public Health tomorrow, about this issue. Labor unions are, and my understanding is I think at the state level too, there's sympathy for that. I don't know if the governor will address it today. But I think they're looking at some form of, you know, getting educational workers some level of priority as we move forward.
Yeah, talk about reopening. Such an issue right now as so many parents, teachers, everybody's waiting on this. It's been so long, Dan, and I know there's this. You saw Janice Jackson, CEO of Chicago Public Schools yesterday say remote learning's not working. For some students, we're deeply concerned about them. Let's open our schools. Let's make it safe. But the Chicago Teachers Union responded, we don't believe it's safe.
Yeah. Well, this is like the really the real hard conundrum of our time, isn't it? Going back to March, right? And I still have one child. He's a junior in high school. Like, this is really hard for all of us. And as a teacher, I taught 18 years high school English. Like, and all our teacher members, and this is killing all of us because we want to be in the classrooms with kids as much as possible, but we also have our families, our children, our grandparents who live with us, all those things. We got to keep everybody safe. So the work that we all have to do collectively is, how do we get schools back safely? And I think we know there's kind of a path, right? We've got to have everybody wearing masks. We've got to reduce the number of people in classrooms. And what's interesting, Anna, when you listen to the pediatricians and the health experts, they all say, pretty much they agree, we do need kids back in school, right? That it's a health issue, even just the kids being out of school, right?
We agree
that. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, I know. I mean, I say this all the time. For most kids, the safest place to be ever, this is long before COVID, is in school, right? But the health folks, the pediatricians, the epidemiologists also say that you got to bring them back when the virus is under control. Right. They're not saying, let the virus be out of control in your community and bring kids back. They've all said, presuming the virus is under some level of control in your communities, let's get kids back in school.
My concern
around it. Oh, yeah.
Dan, my concern through all this is you're starting to see not only the real effects of kids not achieving, not learning, disengaging. You're seeing that. I've heard from friends of mine who are teachers and principals who are knocking on doors to say, where are you? You haven't logged in once. You haven't participated in school. There are kids that are hiding under the desk and they're not engaging because the virtual thing doesn't work for them. You see, you see the lower resource populations. You're seeing the special ed population. There's so many who right now have been months and months and months really harmed by this.
No question. And, it is a huge concern. Yesterday, a group called NWEA does a MAP test. It's a pretty well-regarded test on math and other things around the country. And their latest test, they said, look, it doesn't appear that there's a huge, drop-off in skills right now. Less than we would have thought, maybe, when testing students. But they were really concerned because there was a high level of drop-off of kids, black and brown kids, not taking the test. And this speaks to what you're saying and what we all know. Yes, COVID has cracked open these faults and fissures in our society that existed pre-COVID, where kids and disadvantaged in black and brown communities are disadvantaged in many ways, not just in terms of health, in terms of the digital divide, in terms of other resources. So that is work that has to go on. And I think, in the city, what the Chicago teachers are saying is, look, we do want to go back, but you got to put us in a position to succeed, and the students too, which means, why don't we have nurses in classrooms? Why don't we have the PPE we need? Why don't we have the kind of structures, the social distancing, the number of students in a class, those counts? Like, those are the ways we have to do this to get kids back in school safely.
And we're not there?
We're not there. I point to Champaign as a really interesting place. Champaign a few weeks ago, but it may about a month ago, they brought back all their K through 5 kids. They started with K through 5, and they did it very smartly. They had a nurse in every school, not a health aide, a nurse in every school. They took the temperatures, they had the symptom check, they had done the spacing. I think Mondays, everyone was remote. It was like kids were coming two and a half hours each day. But you know what? The community spread when they did that was 0.9%. That was the positivity rate because of all the testing at U of I, right? They've just had to go back full-time remote because the community spread level was just too high. We can get there, but we've got to have people wearing masks. We're in the grips right now of the worst time in the nation's history now in the virus spread.
Right, I get it. This does not seem like the perfect time or appropriate time. to move forward with this massive plan to open schools. It just seems as if there will be no perfect time, and at some point in the near future, there are real costs here, too. A discussion for another time, and I always appreciate your time, Dan. A discussion for another time is the exodus that we're seeing, too. The parents who can afford to are leaving the Chicago Public Schools. I'm a graduate of the Chicago Public Schools. I believe that one of the great parts of our schools in public education is being around people who are different than you, socioeconomically, racially, people of different, you know, all kinds, and that's one of the beauties of our school system for the most part. We do have segregation issues, obviously, but I don't want that to be lost either, that people just make, you know, who can afford to leave the public schools get to leave, and then everyone else is left. That feels like another loss, just a bad consequence, you know?
It is, and I think, you know, I'm a big fan of Chicago Public Schools. I really am. It's a great education. It's not as equitable. It's not as great as it could and should be. And a lot of that, again, it's the choices we make. It's not by accident. It's by endeavor. And we need everyone, the political leaders of the country. There's no question that we're not going to survive this well without increased federal help.
Yeah.
And I mean schools, universities, states, municipalities. I'm happy to hear that's being worked on more. But let me tell you, going ahead, the next year, the K-12 budgets, and this is going to be in Chicago as much as East St. Louis, mm-hmm. or, you know, Jackson County at the Kentucky border, or Lake County at the Wisconsin border. We are going to need budgetary help because this is really, really hurting districts. So, if we can get there, I think we'll be in a good place. But I would implore, you know, CPS and the mayor, Janice Jackson, to really work with, you know, in New York City, the mayor, and it's imperfect, but he was able to work with the teachers union in New York to work out a forum for opening schools that people felt safely about. And the same thing should be able to happen here.
I got to run here, Dan, but will you keep us posted? And
let us.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
And thanks for your time.
Take care.
I want to try to get a parent on here. Jen, you've been on hold for a little bit here. Thank you for calling in. A different perspective, I assume. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I've been listening in, and as a parent, a Chicago parent, I have four young children. My oldest is in third grade. My youngest is a two-year-old. I have two children in CPS right now. I also have a preschooler at a Catholic school. And I feel that I'm lucky enough that I'm home with my kids. I'm able to oversee e-learning. But I feel that I am in the minority here. There are so many parents, many that I know, that struggle because they have jobs, they have other responsibilities, they can't manage the e-learning to the level that I can. And it's just, as time has gone on, we start to see how e-learning is impacting our kids, the lack of social interaction, the lack of camaraderie with their classmates in the classroom. While teachers do their best to make group work possible over e-learning, the platform really is challenging for children. I feel especially, I see it from the young children perspective, but I'm sure there are different challenges for middle school,
every
high school.
Every age, I think, yeah. But
yeah,
you're right,
yeah,
some more than others. Special ed, you see younger kids that just won't engage at all with virtual learning. You see high school students who are like that socialization is critically important to them. You know, you hear about so much of it. I know right now, as Dan was pointing out, the COVID numbers are just not good, right? It's a horrible situation right now. It doesn't seem like the right time to open. But when would you like it, just final question here, to open, Jen? When would you like to see the schools open?
I would like to see, after the holidays are behind us, I'd like to see where the numbers are. As you talked about earlier, you know, there's never going to be a perfect time. And I think that we need to look at some point, we need to get to a place where we can agree on a risk that is acceptable. Mm-hmm. I've seen my son in a Catholic school, and it's been working there. There have been cases in his particular school. There hasn't been transmissions in the building. The cases they've had have been from what's happened outside of school. With quarantining cohorts, they've been able to really keep the cases to a minimum. And I think that we need to come together and act responsibly as families and make a decision and accept that masks are going to be around for one thing. I read is even with a vaccine, we're looking at another year.
Right. No, it's
and
very
so
possible.
It is not feasible to keep our kids out of school for this long.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get to a place where we can agree that there has there
enough.
Is going to be a risk.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we have to do. We need to put our kids first. And I'm struggling. My frustration is I feel like everybody talks about how kids are a priority, but I don't see that. It doesn't look like the kids are a priority right now.
Like
and I think we need. No, it doesn't. And I feel that we need to get to a place where we all have to agree that kids need to be the priority. They're doing it in other countries where schools and churches remain open and
right.
businesses are the ones that are not open because of the spread. And
You'd
I
like to see that.
Hey,
Jen,
like
I got to run because I'm out of time here, but I appreciate you calling
okay,
in.
Yeah.
And I wish you and every parent the best right now as you're trying to make it work, what we're all going through. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in today, Jen, and expressing your perspective.